Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Wash up, walk-ons fans. We are back for another episode. Energy's going to be a little higher on this one. The Hawks, they got that win we were looking for. It's not always pretty, but they got it done. So we're back. The podcast goes on. Some other things happened in the Big Ten. It's a wide open race in the West. All right, we're going to talk about it. Here we go. Let's have a day.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 57 of the podcast. And we don't have to quit. We're back again. It was a little bit of a sweat for a while, but, the podcast goes on. I think we are all pretty serious about not doing the podcast anymore if we lost to the Perdomo Boilermakers, because, to be honest, this podcast, we just don't want it to be like a Nebraska podcast where they just are a bunch of low ball losers every year, and the people talking about them have to act like they're worth a shit. We just weren't going to do that. We weren't going to stand for mediocrity, just like the Hawks don't. And that's not what we got. So we're back with episode 57, and let's get this thing started.
Yeah, good intro, good description. We were 100%. I mean, it was real. We were stood at the Ward tailgate, and Kevin and I discussed what the episode was going to look like. We thought about, if we really lose, we're going to roll the intro music, and then we're going to let it sit in silence for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then we were just going to end the episode, and that was going to be it. That was going to be the final episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons. But nonetheless, we're here, and it's good to be back. Kevin is most likely going to sound happier today, I hope. Kev, what do you what kind of feeling are you having today as opposed to last Sunday?
Actually, I feel very similar because it was a long night again.
Okay.
but at least we're in a good mood, boys.
Well, emotionally, physically, you might feel the same. Emotionally,
dude, yeah, no, it's good to be back on the winning side, boys. It's it's just good. I just last week was sad. This week we're happy.
Okay, that's good to hear. So, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday morning. Hope you guys are Or it, maybe it's not Monday morning, but whenever you're listening to this, we hope your week has started off nice and happy and right. You can pick your spirits up off the ground from the last couple weeks. The game wasn't so pretty, but you know that is what it is. Hawkeye football is usually not pretty. Got a win versus Purdue, which has been something that's eluded Iowa the last 2 years, unfortunately. Before that, they were basically, like Kevin mentioned on the previous episode, basically a check in the win column, just chalk it up. But got our number the last couple of years, and we got him back. So that's a good thing. Kevin and I were both there in attendance. It was a pretty average to shitty day in Iowa. Got pretty wet towards the end of the game. And it was gloomy, and it was just like a game that if I was going to describe Purdue, the day would be a perfect description of that program. That's how I felt.
That's a pretty disrespectful comment coming from you, Kluver. I appreciate that.
I don't like Purdue a lot, and it's got a lot to do with, the product, the whole experience that they put out. When you go there, and unfortunately we had to go there 3 times. So
my disdain for Purdue all stems from the fact that we lost our senior day, but
well, that adds to it as well. Yeah. So I want to start this Monday podcast. We're recording about 11 a.m. on Sunday, with Kevin. Kevin,
what do you want?
You got awards winners from this weekend?
We're going to start off with awards winners. Well, Walkout Nation, I hope you were still backing me because the three picks I gave you all hit. Ohio State minus 27.5. They covered by a million versus Northwestern. LSU covered 19 versus Mississippi State. And then Oregon makes the comeback to win 35-31 to cover 3 versus Washington.
One of my biggest degenerate friends had the Oregon game too, and I was playing poker last night, so it was like all three of us degenerates were sweating that game at the same time.
Dude, I had them chalked up for they're down 2 touchdowns. I had it chalked off. I'm like, fuck it, game's over. Don't even want to watch it anymore. And I'm down the bars at DC's, and all of a sudden I look over to the TV, and it's like, holy shit, we're about to score. We're about to go up and cover. There's like 5 minutes left in the game. Like, holy shit, we're actually going to do it. Funny story about awards winners this weekend, though. So I gave the fans, I gave you all 3 picks. I hope you all took them. I actually had 4 picks because I'm a degenerate and I want some nighttime action. And I like the Texas versus Kansas game. Unfortunately, I picked Texas. But like a smart gambler, you know, I had a 4-teamer, first 3 teams hit. So what you do is you hedge the 4th team, which means you bet against the team that you had on your parlay. So it means you win either way. Well, Kevin had a few drinks at that time. And when he put his hedge, he accidentally just doubled down on Texas. And guess what? Texas almost lost to Kansas. They did not cover. So I hope you guys hit your parlays, but I did not hit mine, nor did I correctly hedge.
That is incredible.
That is one of the best degen stories I've ever heard, because you were just degenning on multiple levels. It was degenception, and you fucked it all up.
Isn't that the most ridiculous bad beat you've ever heard of?
That's incredible. I mean, that's good stuff. So let's talk about a few of the things that happened in college football, because it wasn't your average day across the country. As I stood at the tailgate, again, a great production by the Ward family always is, as we say. As we stood at the tailgate, and I wasn't even in on the Euros, which we can get into, but had some fantastic donuts from someplace WB something.
Weber's. Chocolate Frosting. Weber's Bakery. Yeah. If you're Weber's Bakery. In Chicagoland, you gotta check it out.
Yep, had some great cake donuts. Chocolate frosting was incredible. And Kevin and I, you were telling me about that bet, and I was like, oh, I looked at you, and you're like, the one I'm worried about is the Texas-Kansas game. And I looked at you, and I was like, dude, Kansas can, like, they've just randomly scored points this year. Like, I was honestly with you. I was like, yeah, Texas is probably going to take care of business.
It's the Mad Hatter, man. They got a hold of the Mad Hatter, and shit just went to the moon.
I know. And then I see that score last night, and I see people tweeting about it, and I'm like, oh, boy. Kevin's not going to be happy about that one.
Dude, what happened is so dumb, I can't even be mad about it. Like,
yeah, it's honestly just comedy.
It's seriously ridiculous.
I think this is a good example for Hawkeye fans specifically to take a second and think about some of the things that happened yesterday, Texas being one of those examples. Our own Wisconsin of the West Division in the Big Ten, another example. How could this possibly happen? How could Illinois compete with Wisconsin? How could Kansas compete with Texas?
But for real, how the fuck did Illinois do that?
I don't know because I didn't watch the game. All I know is I turned on, as we drove away from Iowa City, I turned the radio on and we hear Wisconsin falls from the ranks of the undefeated as they take a last second field goal loss to the Illinois Fighting Illini. And I look at Lauren and I'm just like, holy shit, are you serious? Like that actually happened? So then we searched it on the phone. Go for it.
Yeah, so me and Ryan are walking out of Kinnick right after the game ends and I hear some dude say, oh yeah, it's 23-21. Illinois got the ball. So then we immediately sprint out of Kinnick. Like I'm dead ass sprinting through the parking lot, trying to get back to the tailgate and watch the final minute of the game. And we get back right as they're about to kick the field goal. And dude, like like you said, Drake, I have no idea how Illinois like was in that game. I didn't watch it because it was at 11 o'clock and I was obviously in Kinnick. I'm going to have to go back and watch it because Wisconsin has been like, probably the best overall team in the Big Ten. I mean, just disciplined, playing great offense and defense. Like, the only thing that makes sense is that they're looking ahead to Ohio State. That's the only possible reason that they should have lost that game. Because, I mean,
yeah. I mean, I can kind of understand it from a letdown standpoint of you've been playing really well and you kind of overlook one bet, like one perennially bad team because you have probably the best team in the conference staring you like you're staring down the gun barrel the next week. But like, I still can't put it together because even if you're Wisconsin and you come out and lay an egg for a half even or whatever, you still have so much more talent and such a better team that you can come back. But it wasn't even that. They were up two scores in the fourth quarter and they gave it up. So I just don't understand. I'm at a complete loss for words at what they just did to themselves.
My thoughts, yeah.
Craziness, man. Like, so I'm a degenerate. So every week I throw those picks out that you guys have. I also throw out like an 18 parlay. If, you know, just for shits and giggles. So like you throw down $10 and if you hit all eight, you win a grand. I honestly thought Wisconsin was going to cover their line of 31 points. And I didn't even think it'd be that hard. So the fact that they're in that game and lose blows my mind. I saw a stat. It was like the second biggest upset in Big Ten history. The biggest was like in 1982 or something like that. Like, absolute craziness, man. Santa Claus over there in Champaign, man. He pulled one off.
Love you, Santa Claus. Legit. Here's what I think about it. So, as talented as a team can be, and as put together and disciplined and on a roll as a team can be, I mean, all of those things, Wisconsin was that. And I think a little bit is the look ahead. You would think even if a team like Wisconsin looks ahead and they slough off a game against Illinois, you still should be able to pull out a win. But here's the thing is it comes back to that whole thing of One, Illinois's got nothing to lose. They can go out and do whatever the fuck they want, run any play in the book. They're at home, so you know that definitely helps. The Wisconsin, anything Wisconsin does isn't going to gain momentum as far as in the environment, so that definitely helps a lot. And you got the same, you know, you play 11 versus 11, 18 to 22-year-olds. Illinois, they may be bad at football, but you know, you look at that team individually, you've got some athletes. You're always going to have athletes at a Division I program. And when you hang around and then all of a sudden team gets in the game and now it's the second half and you're like, okay, well, what is going on here? What are we doing? Maybe we can go win this thing. We can mess around and try and mess something up. And we lost Kevin. You see that, Drake?
Yeah, I see that. It's just another Tyler Drake episode. It's whatever.
Yeah, I'm not the only one with the Kmart internet, so Kevin will pop back in a second here. But you get those athletes. You got guys who are the same age, and now they got something to go prove, and holy shit, like, let's go make something happen. Let's go shock the world, do something just completely that no one thought was going to happen. And belief is a strong, strong thing.
That's one thing I do want to touch on is like feeling disrespected as a Division I athlete is like a real thing, because I know that especially when we were going in to play Michigan and Ohio State, like nobody even within the state of Iowa really gave us a chance. And I mean, in reality, they had a reason to be skeptical because we hadn't done anything to prove that we could stand toe to toe with the elite, right? But as a player, you're in the locker room and like, you know what everybody thinks. Like, you're like, okay, well, I mean, literally it's us against the entire world. And you've been working your whole life to become like, to gain the respect of, you know, like the fans, you know, you've worked forever tirelessly so that people don't think of you as the underdog. And then you're still a huge underdog at home and nobody gives you a chance. And like, that just gives you such a huge chip on your shoulder that I know I played with against the teams who were considered more elite than us. Like, I went out there every time trying to hurt those guys and figure out if they could be hurt just so I could like get that reassurance that they're human and like, we're all out here doing the same shit. We all came from the same place. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're no different than us. And once you get a little bit of that taste and you can get that confidence from actually getting your hands on somebody and realizing that they are just another dude, like that confidence can go a long way, but it still doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. It's wild. I just think that whole thing about when you can play with nothing's holding you back. And Illinois is in that situation where every time out on the field, they can go do whatever they want. There's nothing on the line. Like, they're barely fighting for a bowl game. I don't think they will make a bowl game. So they can go, I mean, you can go do whatever you want to do. And, you know, you run into the perfect storm if you're Wisconsin, and what happens, happens. Now joining us, Kevin Ward, former Iowa player, sometimes on the podcast. Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, folks. Good to be back. Sorry about that. Jake Gervais signs a contract for the active roster of the Rams, but still can't pay for decent internet. Kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's tough. And shout out to Jake real quick. That's good for him.
Huge shout out to Jake. That's incredible. I've been telling Jake for a long time that he couldn't rep the 5'6'3 because whatever, he's not from Muscatine. He claims 5'6'3, Davenport, bullshit. 5'6'3 is Muscatine, but I told him from now on he can claim it because he's in the NFL and he's just doing the 5'6'3 proud. So shout out to Jake.
Yeah. So Jake got signed to the active roster. He's going to be playing today. He said he's going to be on the special teams. Shout out to Savage Back Nation. Upgrade our internet.
Yeah.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app, search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify, or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Yeah, seriously, Jake, if you're on the, because now he's getting a game check. He's gonna get a game check that's about like way more than the practice squad check, and so a little $10 a month upgrade on your internet, Jake. Yeah, probably gonna have to go with that. let's move into the Hawks.
Were you guys still talking about Wisconsin?
We were just discussing how on earth it could have possibly happened that they lost Illinois.
I don't know, man. I don't know. So that 8 teamer I talked about, I went 6 for 8. The only two teams that fucked me were Wisconsin and Texas, but they weren't even close to covering, so you can't really be that mad about it.
Right. So let's move on to the Hawks, discuss a little bit. I mean, we were there. Me and Kevin were – not a lot was exciting. I'll tell you what is exciting is that, at least for me, Keith Duncan is just locked in. He's just locked in, and I love to see it. I'll take like 2% credit for that, being one of the previous specialists and kind of leading the way there when I was there. But he's found a new mindset where in special teams, a huge hump that special teams, kickers, punters, long snappers have to get over at some point in their career is you're no longer going out hoping you make it. It's trying to make it, that hoping and trying kind of verbiage and that kind of mindset. You go out and you're like, how good is this rep going to be? How much can I make this through? How down the middle can I kick this? How on the hip can I put this snap? You start to target in how good is it going to be, not if it's going to be good or not. And I think Keith has obviously turned that corner.
Yeah, my guy is absolutely automatic. And I want to steal a couple percent also from Keith's success just for the night after the Michigan win when he made the big kick. Sure. I feel like that night and the events that transpired, of which I am not going to divulge, I feel like it definitely was just like one of those things. He's like, man, I just got to make all my kicks from now on because this is how I want to live.
Right.
So a lot of being a specialist is mental clue, obviously. And, you know, Keith is just seems so unbothered by everything. Like, like he's like, what do I be nervous about? I just go kick the fucking field goal. I mean, that's it.
Right. It's pretty interesting because you get a lot of guys like Miguel, completely different guy.
Completely
right?
different.
Miguel, he might have 3 or 4 different voices in his head before he's kicking a field goal, all telling him different things. And he went out and he was good and he found a way to be good. But Keith is just one of those guys where it just seems like hard to explain it, but very similar to what you guys are seeing, the listeners, with Tyler Goodson, how he just goes out and he's just balling and he just seems unfazed with, you know, switching from the high school to the college level. Keith just goes out and it's just like no one's in the stadium. He's just kicking an extra rep, gets the snap. All right, snaps down. Colton holds it. Boom. Cool. Kick up. Good. All right. Next. And that's what you're looking for in a kicker. That's when the automatic comes in. And we're happy to see that. Sleep Dalton hitting some boomers on the punts. Love to see that.
That guy is a weapon, man. It is. Yeah. It is truly a blessing to have a punter that will change your field position.
Oh, man.
It's
refreshing.
It's nice. Iowa special teams is being special. As far as the defense goes, put out a couple more fires. You just call them the firemen. They need some t-shirts that say that or something like that. They put out a few. Got put in a couple bad situations again yesterday and did their best. Late in the game, I left early, obviously.
Clove, pause on the Iowa recap now. tell the fans why the fuck you left early?
Yeah, tell them, Clove.
I had... No. Okay. So this doesn't... This has nothing to do with the game, why I left out of the stadium early. We actually went... Yeah, we went back to your tailgate to watch the rest of the game, and then a duty calls, man. We got our dryer and washer, just got a new set, and been trying to get rid of the older ones, and someone wanted to meet us for them for a certain amount of time that we had to leave early for, and had to leave Iowa City, get back to Des Moines so we could meet these people.
I'm going to say it right here in front of all of these people who are listening to witness. Your man card has been fully revoked. The fact that you just bailed on a college football Saturday in Iowa City to go sell a washer and dryer to a guy on Craigslist who would have probably came at some point other time in the week. What the fuck, dude?
And I hate agreeing with Kevin because I'm a big shit on Kevin guy just because, I don't know, man, that's the relationship we have. But I got to take Kevin's side on this one, man. I'm cutting your man card as well.
I mean, you can have it. Yesterday I wasn't arguing with you. I just was telling you the situation. I don't have a lot to say. I know you like me to retort and probably go back and forth on this one, but there is none. So
you're pleading guilty?
Yeah.
Pleading guilty to marriage.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. Maybe you guys will experience it someday. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Not like that.
Anyway.
Back to the game. I am done talking about that. Nonsense.
I forgot what I was saying.
You're talking about the defense.
Okay. Yeah. There's a real bad call late in the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Kinnick was going to explode. Fuck. Right. Terrible call. So we're lined up on... it was fourth down, like, on the 50-yard line. And we were never going to snap the ball. We just do a bunch... they were just doing a bunch of motions and probably some hard counts to try to get him to jump offside. And their nose tackle, like, jumps offside and hits Linderbaum and, like, somehow they called a false start. They showed up on the big board, and no one on the offensive line moves at all. And, I mean, they blew that call. It would have been first down with, like, 4 minutes left in the game, and the game would have essentially been over. Right. Instead, we got to punt it. They get a big play plus a kind of bullshit roughing the passer, and all of a sudden, you know, they're back in the game. Yeah, I don't even know where I was going with this. Fuck the refs.
What I was saying was they just the defense, that those points late made it look like a little worse than I think it actually was. The defense played great again. Probably, you know, not their best game of the year by any means, but
no, it wasn't. We gave up a lot of passing yards. Rush defense is good, but Purdue doesn't really try to run the ball that much. I think Purdue's mantra was kind of, you know, we got OJ on one side and he's hella good, and we're just going to throw it to the other side. So,
yep.
Hankins and Riley Moss got targeted a lot. And I mean, that it's kind of funny, you know, as a defensive end, you love having another great defensive end opposite of you. So, but it's the exact opposite as a cornerback, because if you got a great cornerback on the other side, you know that they're coming at you every time.
Yep.
So, I mean, not our best game on that side, but, yeah, I mean.
But that kid balled for Purdue, balled out. He was going insane.
He did. He did have a good game. And I thought that quarterback was a freshman. He's solid, man. He's going to be good. He's going to be good in a few years.
Yeah, everybody's got players.
On that Linderbaum play, like, it was comical how bad the call was.
What
would have been even funnier if Linderbaum would have gone down holding his head.
I'm curious what they said about it on TV.
Like, they didn't say much because
they can't exactly throw the refs under the table.
You know how the announcers are just like talking head puppets who are controlled by the station that they're on. They don't know shit about shit, and they're just out there sucking the right balls. and they had to side with the refs, and then you see the like direct head to head, and they just kind of like froze up. They're like, well, looks like the referees might have missed this one. Like, come on, dude. Quit being a...
All right. Well, we're going to have to edit that one out. And anyway, let's talk about the offense. Offensively, still not a great showing, especially from earlier in the season, what we were doing. But put up more points in the last 2 weeks, and we put up more points than the opponent. So those are pluses. What did you guys think offensively?
Man, it's been a struggle for us to run the ball, and I think that's really going to prove problematic for us going forward. Luckily, we have, you know, some targets, and you know, Nate, and we have a solid passing game. But when it's tough to sustain drives when you can't run the ball well, and I think we're just going to have to start getting creative somehow to start running the ball on the ground. I don't know, man, because it seems like there are some problems that are just not going to be able to be fixed by, I don't know, man. The interior line is still kind of struggling.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin hit it right on the head. If this team can't find a way to run the ball and get to that magical 100-yard mark, because on screen they just kept putting it up repeatedly. Iowa teams who run for over 100 yards, they're like 41-7. Excuse me. Teams that don't run for it are, you know, 1-14 or whatever the numbers were. But it was like abysmal. And so, like, you know, we're based on the run. That's clock control, field position, running the ball, controlling the tempo. That's Iowa football. That's what Iowa offenses want to do. I think that you guys saw clearly that we have a fantastic quarterback. Nate made some amazing throws yesterday in the rain, not good conditions. He was putting the ball on guys, missed a couple throws. Everybody misses a couple throws. He stepped up in the post-game press conference and took the heat off of his receiver or off of Goodson and said that it was his fault. He should have put the ball in a better spot. So, like, that's the absolute epitome of a leader. That's the guy you want under center, not to mention he was out there throwing darts all day. So, like, you see how good he is if he can have time. That's a great thing. We have to get our offensive line shored up or else – we just can't reach our potential as a team, like Kevin said, because if you can't run the ball as an Iowa offense, shit is just not going to run smoothly.
Yeah, so I'm 2 for 2 in a week. I had to yell at some guy again. He's like, after that pick, he's like, oh man, he's just awful, man. He can't make any throws today. I'm like, I turn around like, dude, do you want to go fucking play quarterback out there right now in these conditions? I'd fucking love to see it. Let's see it. Let's see it right now. Run out there and tell Brian Ferentz that you're going in next play. he said, he didn't say anything the rest of the game.
Funny story.
I mean, if you see me in the stands, just keep your fucking mouth shut, okay? I don't have a filter anymore. I don't give a fuck anymore. I will fucking call out anyone.
Okay, so the funny story, I actually got to avoid any of this because me and Lauren sat down at our seats. We were up in the north end zone, that top third level. Really, honestly, you're not close to the action, but you can see everything, and it's great. Sit down. And I'm wearing the Washed Up Walk-Ons hat that came in that initial release where we didn't get anything out, but they sent me like samples, whatever. And the guy behind me, he taps my hat, which was a little disrespectful, kind of invaded my space.
Very disrespectful. Don't do that.
Behind me, taps my hat, leans over and goes, I'm getting me one of these hats, man. And I said, well, you're not getting one of these because we're not making any more. And I kind of selfishly, like, subconsciously assumed, I guess, that he knew who I was, which I don't know how the fuck he would have known who I was before we ever said anything to each other. He goes, we? Who's we? And his wife looks at me and kind of goes, are you the Wash Up Walk-Ons? Are you Tyler? And I was like, yeah, I'm Tyler. Shook their hands, introduced myself, and turned back around. And a couple seconds later, he goes, so I assume you don't want me to bitch about Stanley the whole game, do you? And I go, you know, and this was a pretty loud conversation because he was already intoxicated at the time. Shout out to you, whoever, I forgot your name, might have been Brad or something. You're from Indianapolis. He said he listens every week.
Of course the fucking guy's name was Brad.
Yeah, I don't think it was Brad, but he looked like Brad. And he listens every week. Thank you for your support. And I'm like, so everyone's listening to us at this point. And I was like, I would really prefer that you don't say anything stupid. If you do, it's probably going on the podcast. And after I said that, not a single word from anyone within 15 people of me the whole game.
Dude, that is amazing.
Incredible.
That is some serious power. I didn't know that your words had that much weight, Kluber.
It's not my words. It's the podcast. It's the podcast, you know, power of the podcast. It's like throwing on that mosquito bracelet and then you're good. You're not going to have any bug bites.
That is hilarious. I'm proud.
So that was great. So it was an enjoyable game as far as a fan experience for me this time around. Northwestern is next, boys, and that's another team that has struggled mightily this year. Another team that's beaten us a couple times in the last few years. Unfortunately, Pat Fitzgerald, Fat Tits Gerald. We're here again, Fat Tits Gerald. Shout out Kevin Ward. I honestly like Coach Fitzgerald. He seems like a good guy. He tries to run his program similarly to Iowa. They were the Big Ten champions of the West last
somehow.
Year. West
somehow.
Of yeah.
Fitzgerald can eat my meat.
Okay.
we'll talk more about it next week. But yeah, we don't want it, need it, gotta have it, need a win next week.
Have to have it. And after next week, if we can get a win this week versus the Northwestern Wildcats, sitting there at 6-2,
going into a bye week with Wisconsin coming up,
we'll be in a better position than a lot of people felt like we were just a few short days ago. So, that's the goal, one at a time. 24-hour rule. We've already moved on, and that's that. Hope you guys have a great week. This is episode 57. We're going to keep pumping because the Hawks won. So I hope you guys keep listening. That's it. Walk-ons out.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.